All right, in this video, we're going to analyze the recent Pahalgam Jammu Kashmir terror attack that happened on 22nd April, killing 27 to 28 people and 15 to 20 injured. There is a need to attach the religious identity. A lot of nonsense has been floating on the internet saying terrorism doesn't have religion. Because when those Islamic terrorists from Pakistan with local support were killing innocent civilians, they were intentionally targeting Hindu people. It's all on the record, out in public domain. Now let's come straight to the point and understand why it happened by connecting dots. Pay attention to the timing of the event. Who was visiting Prime Minister Modi? The US President JD Vance. He was in India from April 21st to 24th. Why did he come to India? To talk on bilateral trade between India and United States. What is going on these days between United States and China? Trade War 2.0. Now let's connect the dot and try to understand the larger geopolitical game that is happening around India. Even before JD Vance landed in India to meet Prime Minister Modi, news came out that China is ready to open market to import more Indian goods. Basically, China is saying that they are ready to import premium Indian goods and help Indian businesses tap into China's massive consumer market. It is all bogus talk. You and I very well know China is export-oriented country, not import. So all these talks by China is bogus. Basically, if you want to understand this in simple terms, the main point is that the United States has imposed a 245% tariff on Chinese goods. The Chinese government did not expect that Trump would go this far and tighten their screws so hard. You have to understand that China is an export-oriented country. They manufacture goods in bulk and sell them globally. But ever since this new phase of the trade war with the US began, China has been struggling a bit. They are nervous because their products are no longer selling as they used to. Plus, no one knows how and when will this end. America used to be China's biggest importer, but now with the 245% tariff, everything is changed. So what can Xi Jinping even do now? He's traveling to different countries trying to make deals for selling their goods. Inside China too, they are creating new policies to boost local consumption because so much stock is just lying around and nobody's buying it. That is also why China is now showing a softer attitude towards India, saying things like, "We will sell premium Indian products in our market. Let's make a deal." This is directly connected to why the US Vice President recently visited India. You also have to understand the reason why Trump has sent his vice president to India. You see, India is emerging as a viable alternative trade destination for the United States. Just look at Apple. They have shut down production in China and are now shifting to India. Some companies have already made the move, like Google, Amazon, Ford, GE, etc. So if the trade shifts to India, that's not good news for China. If I get your clients, you will not be happy about it, right? So that's the connection. Now, you might remember China once said, the dragon and the elephant must dance together. Now, that is the signal China is trying to move towards, from competition to cooperation with India. Because China doesn't want India to become a full-fledged US ally, because that would create problems for them in the Indo-Pacific region. Let me also give you an evidence of why I say that China is feeling the pressure inside. They may not be showing it outside, but they are feeling the heat. They are desperate to sell their products by hook or crook. Recently, you must have heard that the US Department of Commerce has imposed significant punitive tariffs on solar panels imported from Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, and Malaysia. Do you know why United States targeted these Southeast Asian countries? Because the US government is suspicious that these countries are just repackaging Chinese goods and sending them through. And think about it this way also, punitive tariffs can also be a way to put pressure on these countries and strike a direct deal with United States, cutting China out. So this also acts as a pressure tactic. And guess what? It is working. These countries have banned Chinese product completely. Now, this is the reason Xi Jinping was traveling to Southeast Asian countries. So there is no doubt that China is feeling the pressure inside. They may not be showing it outside. Now, whenever any US official or politician visit the Indian subcontinent, sometimes they visit both countries, that is India and Pakistan, if the agenda is regional security, counter-terrorism or diplomacy. But in many cases, US officials visit only India, especially when the agenda is focused on economic ties, defense cooperation or Indo-Pacific strategy. These are areas where Pakistan is not involved at all. That means looking at the current political climate and strategic interests, Pakistan is geopolitically irrelevant for US government. Pakistan is desperately trying to bring itself into US government's notice, but a strong India-US relationship is always bad news for Pakistan. Now look at Bangladesh. They've already started leaning towards China. Even Chinese government is definitely looking at opportunities in Bangladesh. A lot of Chinese investors are in Bangladesh looking to buy factories. That's already happening. They are investing in modernization and expansion of Mongla port facilities. If you know, Mongla port in Bangladesh is relatively closer to Chicken's Neck, also known as the Siliguri Corridor. And then you must have heard recently that India has set up a strong multi-level air defense system, S-400, and Rafale squadron in the Siliguri Corridor to guard against enemy attacks from the sky. Who do you think it is targeted towards? Then China is also planning to launch Pakistani astronauts. So look at the level of cooperation between China and Pakistan, China and Bangladesh. Now China strategically leverages its relationships with Pakistan and Bangladesh to counterbalance India's regional influence. China's goal is not necessarily a war, but to distract, delay or stretch India's attention and military resources across multiple borders. If you look at in the north, there is a direct border tension in Ladakh and Arunachal. Then if you look at in west, with Pakistan. In east, Bangladesh influence and Indian Ocean access. This is called a classic geopolitical game of encirclement. And now with the US slapping massive tariffs on Chinese goods and pushing companies to shift production back home and some of it to countries like India, China has a big fear that India could emerge as the next big manufacturing hub. To prevent that, China uses its influence in India's neighborhood, not just to encircle militarily, but to complicate India's rise as a US-backed alternative to China in global supply chains. And then on April 7th, Pakistan's Army Chief Asim Munir made a controversial public talk. He asked Pakistani citizens to teach their children differences between Hindus and Muslims and what was the intent behind the creation of Pakistan in 1947. So if you see this kind of hateful things this Pakistani general is telling to his people about Hindus and India, that alone should make it quite easy for you to understand the motive behind Pahalgam terror attack. It is clear that Pakistani terrorists were driven by the motivational talk given by their army chief. I hope this much is clear. Now the next thing is that Pakistan has been silent for a very long time. So why all of a sudden launched a surprise attack in Pahalgam after a long silence? Now we have to understand that there are multiple strategic, political and psychological angles behind it. Let's do deductive reasoning and weed out less important angles. Angle number 1. Strategic disruption before elections. Now is there any elections around the corner, national or regional? Because such an attack could be aimed at creating panic, influencing voter sentiment, diverting government focus from diplomacy, economy to security. But then there is no general election happening in India or in J&K, so this angle is useless. Now angle 2. Internal pressure on Pakistani army. Is there any internal pressure on the Pakistani army? Well, that has always been the case since Imran Khan's fall. Pakistan's military often faces criticism from within the country. So if we think this terror attack has been carried out to divert public anger or boost the army's morale, that seems highly unlikely because they know very well that India won't stay silent after something like this. And Pakistan is not in a condition to go into a full-fledged war with India unless someone is funding them for it. Which means if they are trying to start a conflict with India, someone might be backing them financially. Otherwise, a country that is sitting quietly and isn't even economically capable would not take such a big risk on its own. So keep a visual memory of this point. I will get back on this. Now angle 3, geopolitical signaling. Pakistan may be reacting to India's growing global ties like US, Israel or Middle East countries. So a terror strike like Pahalgam could be a warning shot to dent India's international image as a peaceful regional power or send a message to countries who are thinking of investing in India. Keep a visual memory of this as well. Now angle number 4, sleeper cell activation after long planning. Now long silence might have been a strategic preparation. Pahalgam is a sensitive tourist zone. Attacking here means hurting India's tourism image. This will send a shock to public psyche. If it can happen here, it can happen anywhere. But here also the big question remains, why the sleeper cell had to be activated? Hurting India's tourism image is not a convincing reason, but one thing for sure we can figure out is that the local tourism guide who had information about booking and other details are definitely involved in leaking information to the terrorists. Now angle number 5, proxy war via non-state actors. As we all know, Pakistan has not accepted their involvement. They will put the blame on independent local militants. And why is that? To avoid full-scale war, they want to just keep the tensions alive. Now, Pakistani Defense Minister has already rejected India's claims that Pakistan was involved. Now, this was expected. That means it is a controlled escalation. The Indian government, in response, has suspended the Indus Water Treaty arrangements and have restricted the flow of Indus Water to Pakistan. This, even Pakistan is aware of, that India will do something like this. And that is why they have already prepared their narrative, saying if India attempts to divert water from Indus River, that will be considered an act of war. Now, what this basically means is, if Pakistan carries out a terrorist attack in India, they will just say, we didn't do it. Some independent militant organization did it. But then when India takes a strong step in response, like stopping Indus Water, since that is based on a formal agreement between two countries, Pakistan's government gets a golden opportunity to go cry out to the world saying, this is an act of war. So you get the game now, right? Ideally, even India should have called this terror attack as an act of war and should have gone straight for a direct strike on Pakistan's military establishment. But again, that depends on the government's decisions and calculations. Still, our main question remains, how is Pakistan even capable of going to war with India at a time when its economy can't even support it? And this is where you need to understand, someone is funding Pakistan to do all this. And the Pakistani army basically works on the money thrown at it by two countries. One is the United States and the other is China. Now, Trump is tightening the screws on China. China is slowly starting to feel the heat. So obviously, it's quite likely that Pakistan is carrying out such incidents with China's silent support. So this is the whole geopolitical game that is happening around India. I hope you found this video informative. I'll see you in the next one.